You're listening to the Sound Atlas.
Ruined.
Hey there, I'm Captain Dean, and welcome to another episode being taped at Mellow Matt's Music and More on Small House Road in beautiful Bowling Green, Kentucky.
Cheap plug.
Absolutely. My guest is a well-known guitarist in the area and has played with bands like 1243, Southern Thunder, Southbound, Sinners and Saints, and is now currently working on a solo project, I would say.
Self-titled record.
Call it. Mr. Frankie Foge, welcome to the Sound Atlas.
How's your mom and them?
Great. It's good to see you, man.
You too, brother. You too.
Thanks for being here today and for wanting to do this.
Oh, thanks for the invite. This is a kid in a candy store.
Well, when I got the invitation to take over as host, about three or four people said I should interview you, so that is why you are on my list.
Oh, we'll make it fun, brother,
I promise. That's why you're here. So, Frankie, you've been around the scene for a decent amount of time, especially in the bands I've just listed. Let's go back to the beginning for you, and where are you from?
Edmonton, Kentucky.
Edmonton.
Yes.
Were you born in Bowling
Green? Born and raised in Edmonton, Kentucky.
Really?
Yep.
Wow. I'm used to hearing people born in Bowling Green because of the hospital and then going back to their town or whatever.
No.
Wow.
I'm a child of the Subtle Ridge area, 496. It's one of the crookedest roads in the state, and it's got more snakes than we do people. It is dangerous there.
Got any stoplights?
We have one in town. Two if you count a caution light.
And you're a guitarist.
Yes.
But you also basically are a string instrument player, but you specialize in guitar. And that's what you're known for. When did you get started?
I started playing guitar probably seriously early 2000s, 2002-ish.
And how old were you?
Yeah, 22.
22.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I didn't have the cash, didn't know how to start.
Right.
That was the main thing, you know. Okay, where do I go to get a guitar? Talk to somebody. Backstage Music. Yeah. Buy a Strat. Yeah, figure it out.
Spent a lot of time in Glasgow?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's my second home for sure.
Yeah.
I'm one of the strip kids up there. So.
It seems like I'm on a trend lately with the latest people I've interviewed. Have a lot of Glasgow connections.
Yes.
And that's always a thing that's always stood out to me, is that there is a strong connection between Glasgow and Bowling Green. What would your connection be like in that setting?
In that area up there, man, the main thing with Edmonton and Metcalf County, not dogging it, but if you want anything, like clothes, food, you name it, you got to go to Glasgow to get it.
Right.
There's nothing there. So you spend a lot of time in Barron County.
Right. And Edmonton is, I think a lot of people may get confused with Edmondson.
Nope.
And Edmonton. Edmondson County has Brownsville. Mm-hmm. And Edmonton is actually
Metcalf
a
County.
City in Metcalf County.
Yes.
It is kind of weird, though, that they're not far apart, and they sound pretty close to each other.
Oh, yeah.
So, you spent a lot of time in Glasgow.
Yes.
You got started playing guitar at 20 years old.
Yep.
You said Backstage Music.
Yes.
I never got to experience.
Oh, Kenny Weber was a great dude, man.
I've heard a lot of cool stories about it.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, I got to record there when David Barrick had his studio located.
And I'm jealous over that, too. That is, I didn't get to hit that little 5 minutes he was there.
Well, it was cool to walk in the door and see all the pictures and stuff up on the wall. Like, a lot of stuff was left alone.
Yep.
And I guess the music instruments and the display cases and whatnot had been gutted out. But the walls looked like a music store.
Yeah. It's still the little boards with the holes in them where they put the guitar hangers.
Yeah, and that's where David had his stuff hanging. So I'm used to hearing a lot of people always say, I started playing guitar when I was 12 or 13.
Oh, no.
You guys started fairly late in the game.
Yeah.
And what was that like?
No information, no YouTube, no internet, where I was at anyway.
Yeah.
You just had to love it. Went after it.
And that's obviously you did.
Yep.
Starting out, what influenced you?
Oh, at that age, mm-hmm. I was the thrash guys for sure.
Yeah.
Local band Luther.
Oh, yeah.
Really, really came across my radar.
Awesome.
And Mr. Yates, when he was still alive, rest his soul. I got to see him on a tobacco wagon up there in Edmonton. That was the gunshot right there. Oh, okay. He can do this. He's from here. He's good at this.
Right.
I can do this too.
So an instant, like, yep. live connection.
Yes, and, yes.
I think guys like me grew up watching MTV and concert videos.
Oh, there was that. There was that.
Yeah. But you actually had, like, real mm-hmm. in-person action to, you know, feed off of. So that's cool.
Yeah, that was for sure a big bullet point, those guys were. They don't know how much. I've only met them two or three times. Now, that was before me starting to play. That was probably like 98, 99. That's when the seed was planted. And I just had to figure out how to go about it. Mm-hmm. And there was no information. I never take lessons or anything like that. You know, I pick up a little bit along the way. Steve Robertson was great at showing me a few things odd and end. But for the most part, it was just me sitting. I had a little small crate combo amp, 15 watt, and a headphone strap copy, and I would plant a fifth liquor in the floor, and I would go for about 8 hours at a time. That's how I learned.
That's awesome. What stuff did you kind of learn in the beginning?
I started writing instantly.
You did?
Yes.
That's good.
Yeah, because that's the only thing. Well, I couldn't play the Metallica stuff yet. I couldn't play the Guns N' Roses stuff yet. I ain't even going to attempt Pantera.
But you found a way to, like, yes. create things that suited you.
That were in that ballpark, yeah, in that wheelhouse.
Exactly. That's
and,
awesome.
And you learn. Yeah, pick up a Sabbath riff here, there, and here. Something
you got
like
a late start playing yep. and learning, and you instantly started writing and creating your own music mm-hmm. from the beginning. Mm-hmm. This is such a totally opposite story, I think, from the norm of what I ever hear, especially when I talk to people or listen to interviews with other people. This seems like different, and that's cool because it's like you instantly came out of the gate like on your own path.
My thought about that was Axel's not singing any of my songs. Right. Why should I be playing his?
That's true.
That's just where that's I came from.
Very
on
good
that.
Point. Very good point. Well, so you got started playing guitar. How long did you play before you got into your first band?
Probably about 3.5-4 years.
That's super fast.
I would have done it quicker, but alcoholism and young man's life.
You were like pure yeah. rock and roll.
Oh,
from the beginning.
You gotta live it, brother. You gotta live it.
You read the book. And you said before we started rolling that 1243 was your first band?
Well, early incarnation of that. Mm-hmm. Me and Jason Smith were on the keg party circuit, so to speak. We'd be the cats sitting on the back of the trucks playing acoustic guitars.
Right.
Yodeling a Lynyrd Skynyrd song that we didn't know. And before you knew it, it just kind of turned into a practice regimen, and we would show up at a place right down the road from Wisdom, Kentucky, and before we know it, we had a little band together, and there was another guy in the band wanted to go more in a country direction. Not to have any problem with that, but that just was not where I was headed at the time.
You were, like, straight up. Like,
I was a metalhead, dude. Yeah. Southern sludge, yeah, was my thing.
Southern sludge, which I would always refer to as, like, Pantera.
Yeah, well, I even further than that, COC down, that kind
okay.
of thing.
Okay.
Just a Pantera to me is just Southern thrash.
That's a Texas.
Yes,
like,
yes.
Texas,
it's ZZ Top influence, thing. Man.
Yeah.
And I love that band, always have.
Did you ever see him live?
No, never got a chance. Never got a chance.
Damn.
Yeah, by the time I was out in it, Dime had done got shot.
Oh,
so
wow.
that was
that real, yeah.
bad news. Bad news.
About 2000
yeah,
something
yeah,
is when you
yeah.
were, okay.
Nah,
yeah,
wept.
That makes sense.
I wept like a child.
I hate that for you, man.
Oh, a buddy of mine called. Play, so a buddy of mine called. And he said, man, Dime, and he was on the road. He's a musician. He said, man, Dime just got shot. And we sat there and cried on the phone like two schoolgirls for about an hour, but that was what it was. We had a connection with this dude.
Right. Obviously had an impact on you.
Oh,
as a
big
player.
Time, big
yeah.
time.
So 1243 gets rolling, but it's the first incarnation, mm-hmm. not what maybe people would think of.
No. That was just getting it
the
together.
Active band that played out later on.
Yeah, later on, in my opinion, they got more of a Social Distortion influence and that kind of thing.
Oh, okay.
And that's when I loved those guys. I booked them on every show we played after that.
But you were not in the band.
No.
Okay.
Now I am a sitting member of the band, but Mr. Andy Piper, the bass player, has just had a small child, and he is learning the meaning of life. This may take a while, kids.
There you go. It definitely changes the game a little bit.
Yep.
And what year was that again?
Oh, like I say, that would be 2005, 2006, somewhere in that ballpark.
That's not too long ago. Yeah. And Okay, so you weren't in that for too long.
Six, 7 months, somewhere in that ballpark.
Yeah.
And then the Southern Thunder thing happened.
So, Southern Thunder, you said, was kind of the band that got really active and very busy.
We had a following around here, terrible name, and I'll tell the story to that in a minute.
So who was in Southern Thunder?
Steven Hatcher, people call him House Cat.
Yes.
Josh Shaw, a friend of mine, they call Turtle, he was bass player, and Mike Bull, a friend of mine from high school. Well, he would have been second drummer. I can't even remember the first drummer's name.
I was going to say, Mike was the drummer for that.
He was the second one. I cannot think of the first. Corbin Burt from Kiss Kiss Bang actually filled in when he was young until we got Mike. I remember that. But in which way, that part doesn't matter. And we were a COC, black label, that kind of vibe.
That's awesome. I totally missed that, too. I was telling you before we started rolling tape that I was not around here very much and seeing bands of that nature, but like during your span, which I think you said it was like 2007, 2009.
Yep.
I somehow missed it. I never, like, it wasn't on my radar. I never caught a show. That's weird for me because usually I'd hear of everything and go out and check it out, you know. So Southern Thunder gets rolling around 2007.
Mm-hmm.
How long did that last?
I'd say end of 2009, we burn ourselves out at both ends.
Okay. And where did you play?
Anywhere we could get booked. We would have played the Broom Closet at the restaurant across the road if we could have. You know, you name it. Tid Balls, I probably played 50 times. Grumpy's, that was our basically standing spot 60 to 70 times.
Why do I not remember Grumpy's?
It was out going toward Morgantown on the Natcher off the left.
That was Grumpy's.
Yeah, it's been a million things.
It has.
But it's got a liquor store tied to the side of it.
And that's why I don't remember it, because during that time frame, I probably wasn't.
Oh, it was a bucket of blood at that time, too. Yeah. Ooh, dangerous place.
Grumpy's.
Yep.
Trying to think, it was Turntable for a while, right?
Yeah, it's been that.
It's funny, I think I've had this conversation so far with a few people that bring this club up, and every time they bring it up, it's a different name.
Yes, yes.
And a different genre. And different owner. And
during this time, it was very, very much heavy. You know, it was a spot for the heavy bands. They would be like us, Cold Circle, Slander be there, Sixth Floor, I forget. There was some bands out of Nashville. Sometimes Saturday was one of those. They were a very cool band.
So that was just hitting the circuit.
Yeah. Bowling Chasing Green Lane. Wise.
Chasing Lane.
Yep.
But Bowling Green wise, where else did you all play?
Like I say, we did a...
Was there anything in Glasgow?
Glasgow. There was, like I say, Cave City, the Factory.
Oh, yeah.
There was another spot in Glasgow called The Venue at the time that was really rolling. They did a lot of shows at the time. That was a two-a weekend. There was a place in Edmonton we played, Gentry City Limits. He has since went to jail.
Yes. I had the pleasure of playing there a couple times.
You know what? You feel my pain. But yeah, like
the first time, I was like, hey, this place is pretty cool. And the second time, I was like, I just want my money so I can go
that's
home.
It. Pay me, boss.
Yeah. So Southern Thunder only lasted a few years.
Yes, we had one full-length release.
A lot of work.
A ton. And we were practicing 2 to 3 times a week, gigging any day we could possibly get. You name it, we were doing it.
And you put out, what did you say, one album?
One full-length album.
And what was the title?
It was just self-titled. Self-titled.
How many songs?
I think one issue had 13. That was a special edition. It had 14. Had a Hank Williams Sr. cover we did on it.
Okay. Is that still available?
I can get it to you.
Is it online?
No.
Nobody can hear it online?
I've got to put it online. I've got to figure out how.
You need to do that.
I'm the most technologically backwards human being you ever meet in your life.
Like, the music history of things that you've done, and whoever has the copy is in charge of doing.
Some of the stuff I've played on, I don't have. But that is what that is.
Yep. I know a lot of people that have that thing. So Southern Thunder comes to an end around 2009, 2010-ish.
Somewhere in that ballpark.
And you end up in Southbound.
Well, that was where Thunder used to gig with Sixth Floor, and it almost seemed constantly. It's like every week we were playing together.
Right. Now, Sixth Floor, if I'm not mistaken, and I don't know this, and maybe you can help me, did that kind of end.
It was fizzling.
It was fizzling, yeah. But he, instead of, he just, in my understanding, just changed the name. But it was still the core guys.
I believe a weird transition initially. It was myself, John, Andy Piper from 1243, and George Collard, the drummer of 6-4.
Okay.
And John wanted to go more, I guess, a country rock direction, more of a Jamie Johnson kind of thing.
Okay.
Which was weird because he was known for the super heavy stuff.
Right.
And I was known for just this sludgy gnarliness. And now we're going to dial it back to about 5 and try it from there. And it was just, it was interesting.
Mm-hmm. How long did that last?
Southbound went on for quite a while. There's 3 or 4 incarnations of it.
Because I heard
it. And it morphed.
And I knew that the name Sixth Floor had kind of ended and became Southbound. But I also know that John did make like a solo record and do some solo recordings on the side too. So I think he was just in that transition of change and finding himself, but you got to be a part of that.
Yes.
So that's pretty cool.
We were actually at the venue in Glasgow doing a gig, and he pulled me over the side and said, "Man, I'm gonna do something a little bit different. You know, come jam on." I said, "Sure." And that's exactly how that started. Took off. And initially, it was like I say, more country influence, southern rock tinge stuff on the laid back side. Mm-hmm. And the more we stayed together, us trying to not do what we do is impossible. And it got heavier, and it got heavier, and it got heavier. And before you know it, it's 6-4 Junior, because it's basically all them and me. We got like 3 guitars up there, and it's ridiculous, but it was fun.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun. And the main reason I quit doing that, just the sheer reason, Metcalf County is a long ride to Morgantown.
Yes, it is.
And I just got tired of the miles, brother.
Well,
I called John in the parking lot of work one day. I said, "Boss, I can't do this no more."
I feel your pain because I wasn't driving as far, but I did work with John for a little bit. And Alverton to Morgantown is just as much of a hike because I'm close to Scottsville.
Well, you sent me that address. I don't even know where that's at. I'm sure I've been there.
I'm kind of in the Scottsville halfway land of things. But okay. Yeah. It says Alverton, but it's kind of not. It's the no man's land outer skirts of it. Yeah. But that was a little bit of a drive for me. I think it took me an hour round trip to get there.
It's about the same shot, driveway. It's a solid 45 from Edmonton to Morgantown, and then you add, 15 more miles to get to his crib?
Yeah, because he's closer to the Rochester area. So you had to leave the band because of distance.
Yes.
I can understand that. And it gets harder, I think, with age, too, because...
Oh, yeah, my dad had cancer at the time, too. And there was a lot of variables there. I was just ran down.
You had a lot going on.
Yes.
But it lasted for a...
Oh, it was a good stretch. It was a good stretch. Did a lot of shows, had a lot of fun. I learned a ton as a musician, sitting on stage with people like Wade England and Jared Duke and, of course, John, George, you name it, man. I learned a ton of little tricks.
Oh, I bet. And paying dues in a way.
Oh, yeah.
Playing the club circuit again. But even more intense, it seems like. So both of those bands were fairly active
and
out and about. Obviously, you leave Southbound with obvious reasons, but when I came across you, we had had this discussion that we probably crossed paths and all those years, ships passing in the night.
Yeah, you was probably passing, packing cymbals while I was packing an amp out, or something like that, tip balls, you know, these things happen.
Kind of get to know you when you were in Sinners and Saints.
Mm-hmm.
And the cool thing about that band is that I met you and Jason Simpson and Mike Bull all around the same time. Even though I knew their names and knew of everybody, I didn't know any of you. So when that band was going, I came to see you guys one night, and it was like, wow.
What gig was it?
It was at the Spillway.
Okay.
And it was with Otis.
So sweet. That was a fun one.
That was a good show.
Yeah.
And I was blown away by the sound and everything. And it took a while, but I finally ended up getting to know Jason, and he hooked me up with the recordings. So you all When did that band form?
So my dad came down with that last run of cancer somewhere. Time gets away from me. He passed in 2013. I want to say we were already rehearsing by that time and not doing anything. Really kicked in hard late 2013 going in 2014.
Okay.
And that was fun. It was basically the same kind of energy as what Southern Thunder was. Very fireball in your face, but come from more of a classic rock mindset. And we never forced anything, and I just had a lot of fun. That's the only thing I can think of with that band is the word fun.
But it did last briefly, too. It didn't seem like it. Because
I guess we had about a 2-year run, right. Something like that, because we did one show under a different name, Lost Dogs. Opened up for 6-4 yet again. That was in Glasgow. And then that's when the Saints started doing what we did. And if you know the four of us, you sit in a room with us for more than 10 minutes, that band's not going to last long. We are a
powder keg. Mike and Jason ended up joining with John.
Yes.
And formed Mud River Revival, which I got to be a part of. I was the first drummer for that. And that's when I really got to work with Jason and Mike. And John, of course. And I think the reason that your band had ended when that band started.
Yeah.
Because I remember having this conversation with Jason. I was like, are you still doing that too? And he was like, well, I don't know. And then he was like, I got some recordings. You want to hear it? And he emailed me the four songs that you all recorded at David Barrett's.
Yep.
And I was just like, dude, this is great. Like, why are you going to do this and let that end? And so, but it did come to an end. But luckily, I think I'm one of the few people that have those.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
and I don't have a solid copy of that. And I have a CD of it now. So I actually have that on CD.
That is on Reverb Nation somewhere.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
And that's on, actually, I don't have a solid copy of it.
Well, anyone listening to this needs to go to Reverb Nation and look up Sinners and Saints. It's a common name.
Yes, it is.
There are several bands in the world, I guess, that have it. But you need to look up Sinners and Saints and look hard and look good and deep for the one that was based out of this.
Just type in Edmonton, Kentucky with it. You will find it.
Be under?
Yep, that'd be the easiest way.
It was good stuff.
I appreciate it, dude. It was a lot of fun. It was reckless.
Great music band, but I thought Hosscat Steven was a great lyricist, and he had a great voice.
He brought a different tinge to it. That's where a Southern gospel influence of his crept
in. It was definitely like visible there in my ears, because that really stood out to me. And you know, when you see a band live, you're there in the moment, you take it in, and you walk out of there, man, that band was really good. But you don't really retain anything.
Yep.
You can't remember the lines and the choruses and the riffs. So to get that recording from him was really cool. And I was really happy to have that, and I listened to it all the time.
Sweet.
It was a good record, so I hated to see that band go from a fan standpoint.
Oh, we hated to let it go, but time.
I got to gain access to those two guys. And we ended up making a record together that was really good, so I was proud of that.
If that band would have stayed together any longer, some of us would have been brought up on charges. I can say that without a doubt. And,
a lot of bands end with that note. So.
Oh, we still love each other. We get along great outside of a rehearsal space.
Yeah.
You throw us in there, dude.
I get it. Believe me, I get it.
Yeah.
So you end up, that band pretty much falls apart. I didn't hear much from you during that time, but I know you were still playing, and you would post things every now and then on like Facebook about jamming a riff, or you'd throw up a quick video, and I knew you were still active, but you weren't involved in anything.
No.
So there'd been a time, I guess, between 2014 and now, that you'd just been kind of hanging around, doing your own thing, and working on stuff, like you said, in the woodshed. You are currently in the process of working on something.
I'm wanting to do a solo EP.
Right. I've but never you had sang recorded a song, that. A song,
yes,
at David's, and you have had some fairly good
I've got response some good feedback from that. Really good, so, surprisingly.
Right. Yes. So that was what 2018. That was
yes,
about
yeah, September. I did it for my birthday.
Just so on not long ago.
No, just on whim.
Because it's January of 2019 mm-hmm. now. So it was only a short bit ago that you even recorded that.
I've been sitting on a version of that song since 2006.
Right.
I could not find a course. Hmm. And one day I sat down and there it was.
Isn't that amazing?
Yep. And a week later I called Dave. Because I threw a little thing up on Facebook and it went. And yeah. I was shocked at that response.
So you went to David's to record the song. Did you play all the instruments?
Yes, everything but the drums. Dave played the kit.
David actually yep. played yep. drums.
Because okay. I am not a drummer. I don't pretend to be.
That's cool. I forget David plays drums. I don't know why I can never.
I'm just thrilled he thought enough of me to do it. Because David is a phenomenal musician all the way across the board.
Yeah.
That dude is a beast on
That's
everything.
That's what makes him a great producer yeah. is yes. he's able to like grab an instrument and say, hey, try it like this. Mm-hmm. And if it's really awesome, I think most people go, why don't you do it? Mm-hmm. Just guest on the record and then we'll figure out how to do it live.
Now, the original beat we put on that was vicious. It was more of a Led Zeppelin levy
oh, okay.
kind of thing. Just huge backbeat. We got to listen to it. That's too much.
Like it's
Led
a great
we
song.
Tweet it.
I and I know
that,
Bratcher and Tommy Starr both have played it locally. Have you had much?
99.1 and Hampton picked it up in regular rotation okay. for a while. Great. It was rolling up there. They took real good care of me. I'm proud because that's my home station.
Right.
And I've never had anything
and that always
on there.
Is gonna mean
yeah, it
more.
Means a ton to me. Of course, yeah. I love Tommy. God knows I love Bratcher. We've been down the road together a ton.
Right.
But, yeah. I appreciate it.
Yep. To have the hometown love.
You know? Yes.
So going off of that, I guess that was kind of like your tester. You went fishing on that song.
Can I do this?
Yep.
Yes,
and now that you know you can, what is the future have in store for Frankie?
Frankie's fixing to have some fun. Because yep. I've got nobody holding me back now.
Exactly.
I can't
solo get artists can just yeah. literally do whatever the hell they want.
I miss banking ideas off people, and yeah. I miss little arguments and kind of stuff like that, because that's what makes you better.
You miss being on stage?
Yes.
When was the last time you were on stage?
Technically at Kenneth Marr's house. He did a small
oh, yeah.
show. Me and Trevor Smith were up there and did some acoustic stuff.
So
but,
you're not too
no,
out
I mean,
of it. Yeah.
I'll you jump on stage with anybody right now.
Right.
And just go. But, the last Saint show at Outlaw Fest. It's online on YouTube. There you get to watch a band basically break up on stage and walk off. But it was a solid set.
It's a great band. I mean, yeah. but I get it. You know, some yeah. bands are just so good and they just physically can't.
No, we were
like get along. Guess, you know.
And that's what made us good.
Yeah,
it was the just grinding rocks, man.
So the future for you is
wide
to keep
open.
Working, keep writing, and obviously keep recording. Yes. What plans, goals? What, I mean, have you even sat down and thought this out?
No, dude. This is all off the cuff. It's all off the cuff.
Yeah.
And I don't care.
That's good.
Vehemently do not
well,
care.
Well, good. I know you've reached out to me.
Yes, because I want to play on a track
playing,
with you.
We have drums on track
talked about this on Facebook forever.
Yep.
I don't care if we're playing polka.
Well,
just go have some fun. You know?
But we've talked a little yep. bit. Is there anyone else out there that you'd like to
man, work Wade
with?
Ain't going to need to get in the room again, man. We had a ball back in the day.
Yeah.
I know he's covered up in Boomstick doing her thing, but we
well,
still need to write
thing
a track
about
and do something. Yep.
As a solo artist, is you. Just basically schedule a time and say, just come over.
That's it.
It doesn't have to require 3 months of practice and back and forth thing. Just get those people in because you know what they're capable of.
Yep.
And you can just basically like, here's the song. What do you got? You know, some people have a strong vision and they walk in and say, here's what I want you to do. But in your case, I could see you more of, here's the song. What do you have in mind?
I got an idea. What's your idea? Yeah. Let's have some fun.
And just
here.
See what happens.
Yeah.
And of course, once it's recorded and blended and mm-hmm. edited and mixed, it can always take on a role of its own. You know?
To me, it's more about the memories than the miles.
That's true.
I always want to do what Down did. Get four of my buddies in a room, drop a four track in the middle, and make a record,
yeah.
and then leave.
That's
my thing.
School.
And So hopefully someday.
It doesn't exist as much, I think, these days.
Well, everybody's so driven by money. I want to be famous. I want to. You get over it.
I don't see how anybody gets money. And
you will spend more in this business than you will ever make.
And you'll never get that across to most.
No.
They'll never understand that.
You got to live it. You got to love it. Because you're not going to live off of it.
So that consists of your story. What about you as a fan?
Oh, God.
And not you know, I mean, you can ramble on for days about what you listen to. But as a fan locally, what bands, what artists grab your attention?
Luther, as I mentioned earlier, that was the first one that really jarred me.
Yeah. I can see why.
And that scene at that time was hopping, too. You had a Layden was still around. Of course, early 6'4", that band blew my mind before I ever met any of those guys. We were jarring on that stuff on Keg Party Circuit on Saturday night. Mm. That Supergrass, Small Town, that record was... Pilot was still around. Oh, yeah. Gear was awesome. They were still killing it. Early Slander at that time.
Now, yeah, that's Slander when Robert was the bass player. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was early on. When we finally started gigging with Slander, they were going through the Spinal Tap bass player thing. It was popping left and right. It was a weird time. But
I saw them four different times with two different drummers. Mm-hmm. And
I love those guys. John Fox is amazing.
Yes.
He has been so good to me. John Fox is
a wonderful man.
Yep.
And he has a sound atlas. I think if you scroll down the website, you'll find it. Yep. Tommy interviewed him pretty early on.
Yep.
So I think he's like episode 18 or 19 or something like that.
The Otis Boys, because I've been there from Jump Street with Boone.
Right.
Back pre 44 Magnum when he's playing Barn Lot Theater in a talent contest. I'm so proud of those kids.
Oh, absolutely.
So proud, because I know where they came from and they have worked for it.
Yeah. You got to watch it.
Oh, yeah. Watch it bloom. Watch it bloom. The Blackstone guys there, Merle, me and Chris, like that's my brother.
And you mentioned Steve earlier. Yeah. Chris is dad.
Steve is my second dad. Chris is my brother.
And he, showed you some things?
And me and Chris would just sit and jam, man. We had a bootleg version of Acid Pro, and we would just sit and write riffs.
Yeah.
That's what we'd done. And we'd do it from the time sun went down to it come up next morning.
Okay.
And just had a ball doing that. We got to be friends over COC. We got introduced by another cat, and we're just filling each other out.
Right.
He said, you know about this? And I popped off. I knew about Wise Blood. And we got to going, and before you knew it, man, it was on.
Well, I've always heard Steve in just conversation or even in interviews where he'll say, I didn't really teach Chris how to play. He watched and learned, maybe, but he did kind of develop on his own as well.
I know Steve's going to be listening to this. He would not teach overtly, but he did have his snapping point of like 3 days of him listening to us butcher a riff he loved. I remember Fat Bottom Girls especially. We're sitting there, I just beating this dead horse, man, and we're clanking it, we're butchering it, we're killing it. He just kicks the door and come poof. It goes like this. Hands us the Les Paul back out of the room. That's how he talked. But you remembered.
So only got a lesson when the lesson was needed.
When he was developing a twitch.
Well, he's a super great guy.
Oh, I love him.
Always loved
love him.
Just the shows that they do together now is so cool.
Mm-hmm.
But that's cool. You got to be a part of that. You got to be a part of watching.
Chris, I got to watch them grow from the ground up, dude. I'm super proud of those guys. Super proud.
Yeah.
People can say what they want, dog, or bandwagon. No, that's my boy, and I am proud of him.
Well, you grew up with him.
Yep.
You were there. You've learned together in the way, right?
Yep.
You guys are the same age?
He's younger than me.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly how much, though. Like 4 or 5 years, something like that.
Did y'all go to high school together?
No, I was done out by the time he got there. I got out in 97. I graduated when I was like 16.
Okay.
Because we started super early back in the day.
Oh, wow.
And, I don't know what year he got out. You'd have to ask him that. That's like a prison sentence anyway. Nobody really wants to talk about the year, dude. It's over.
They all kind of went to high school together,
right? Yeah, they were babies.
I know those stories have been told a thousand times.
Yeah.
Yep. But that's not about them. This is about you.
I got some of the recordings from back in the day when nobody knew who any of us was. I can play you.
That's cool. It's always good to have those.
I always sound like white zombies. Always sounded like.
So, well, like you said, you're working on some solo stuff. You're going to be recording. Obviously, does the year 2019 have in store for anyone a planned?
I have no plan. I don't want a plan. I'm going to open up a gig for Sixth Floor at Rib Liquors March 23rd.
And this will air before that, so you're actually...
Sweet! Plug
in! You're actually getting a good plug right now.
It's that Mick Foley cheap pop I'm looking for, boss.
So yeah. You're playing... you're doing a solo set.
Yes. Opening in a flat
Sixth
top.
Floor at Rib Liquors on March 23rd.
Yeah, and this those guys showing faith in me because I'm an unproven commodity yet again. Hey, kids, I'm back.
Well, it's funny when Mud River played there once, Steven opened for us. Mm-hmm. So Hosscat opened for us. So I was like, that was cool for me because I got to talk to him that night and be like, hey, Jason gave me this.
Oh, I would have killed if he'd came with me tonight. I would have killed for it. But he probably hadn't even got off work yet.
Yeah. But, so where are we going from here?
Like I say, I'm going to treat every track like a single. Going to kind of David Bowie it, man. Change everything for every track.
That's a
and
cool.
And just have some fun
that's
with
a
it.
Cool.
I don't know what I can do yet. I really don't.
Well, and I think that's what's cool about the studio is you really discover things that...
This singing thing's a new toy. Yes, I've been playing guitar since Noah got off the Ark.
Right.
I don't know. We've sang for the last 2 years.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So never opened my mouth in my life. Yeah. Huh. I'd write things down or I'd hand a piece of paper to somebody. This is kind of what I got cooking. See what you can do with it. But for me throwing out. So this... I've had to go from the ground up, learn how to get the guitar and the pipes working together, because that's a thing if you've never done it.
It's chewing gum and patting your head and rubbing your stomach. It's one of those things.
But, yeah, I've got such a love for music. I want to do some pop stuff. I want to do some thrash stuff because that's my roots. It's just finding the time and the energy to get it all crammed in.
Right.
But, you know. At the end of the day, I'm still a family man. That's number one priority. I'm going to get them taken care of. Then the rest of it's hobby time. But if all were it may.
Yeah.
I'd love to get some of my songs in some other people's hands, throw it at people. What can you do with this?
Yeah,
not for money, just for fun. Let me see.
One thing about songwriting is some people sit on them like gold, and others are like, hey, I wrote this song here, you can have it.
And I'm very much that guy. I mean, I just throw them up there.
It's weird to me about songwriters is it's either one or the other. Some are so afraid to like let them out of their possession.
No, I write them for a reason. I want people to hear them.
Yep,
that's what they're for.
That's what I think, because you never know. Somebody else might have better luck with your song than
exactly
you. And then you make
just
a lot of money.
I'd love to hear somebody else's take on it. They might come up with something that I don't that will spur on the next tune.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a cool run he done there. I'm going to snake it and use it myself. You know, that kind of thing.
That's cool.
The people around here constantly spur me on. And we was talking about that before the interview started. I love that video you put out the other day. I love what the Kiss Kiss Bang kids are doing. I love that John's still putting out videos. I see this stuff and it pushes me.
Yeah.
So that's cool. I'm going to do that.
That's what I like about our scene is I think it does have like a circular thing of inspiration.
It does with me, for sure.
We all kind of throw things out there that others will see and go, hey, man, you know, this band or this artist isn't necessarily my cup of tea, musically speaking, but I really like their passion. I really like what they're doing. And so you've definitely hit on that. I've always felt that way when I see other things that people are doing. So I can totally get that. It is cool.
Yes,
you know,
it's fun, man.
Yeah.
I still get
like
the chill bumps talking about it. I mean,
it doesn't
it's a thing.
Have the, I guess, the. I don't know. It doesn't seem as butting head like it used to be. You know what I mean?
No, there was a time it was stiff.
It was. I think that's stiff. Just because we were all young and naive and yeah,
that thing.
But now, like it, I don't even know if it's an age thing because the younger kids now seem to be a part of that. Like open-minded and sharing, you know, ideas, and people seem more involved with each other instead of being enemies and against each other, you know?
Well, there's no future in that anyway, man.
No, but I think
that negative energy a lot just of our generation
may be struggled with that.
Guilty, you know? Guilty. I was the biggest gorilla to fight. What are you talking about? I asked Boone some stories. Tommy can tell you a few. I think I've scared that man to death two or three times on accident.
But it is cool for you to say that, I think, because that sums up what this music scene is. Mm-hmm. And this music scene has...
It's special.
Really stood the test of time.
It is. It's a special area.
It is. And it's full of great guys like you.
I appreciate it, boss.
That do your thing and don't have any fear of being original.
Why?
Because a lot of people...
It's my face. I can fall on it if I want to.
A lot of people just have this odd vision, I guess, of viewing it from other things or done a certain way. And it's like there is not a rule book.
No.
You know?
As soon as you make one up, you're screwing up.
Yeah. But I guess a lot of people think there is.
No.
I've never thought there was.
There is no right way to go about this, Fizz. I won't say it.
I believe in the music business aspect. Like, if you do this, and this, good things could come of it.
Oh, maybe. I know nothing of it. Could care less.
But as far as rules and all that stuff is sound and how you mic your amp and shit, like, to me, like...
Gibson, Marshall. Yeah, man, I got no time for the gear Nazis, man.
Well, as far as gear goes, what is your...
I've got my old Beater Telecaster that I have murdered over the years.
Yeah.
I've got a PRS... one of Chris's sigs he was kind enough to give to me.
Kidding.
Well,
do you have the blue one or the red one?
Red one. And there's a story to go with this. Back in the day, they got their record deal. I'm hoping he don't mind me telling this because it's a great story.
It'll
and we were sitting around, and I'm looking. The dude's got a Les Paul that's beat to death. It comes in and out when it wants to. He's got a record deal. They're going to be on a run with Black Label Society. He needs a guitar. I've got a guitar. Chris, signing bonus. Hit him in the face with a Fender. Play this. So a year, I forgot about it. And years later, he gets a SIG, return favor. So that was good.
Ah, very nice.
Like I say, do what you can for the kids.
So you're a Fender man.
It just worked out that
Gibson
way.
Man,
I'm a nothing man. No? I'm whatever I need for that track, man.
But the Telecaster is like
The Tele is a cutting board with a neck on it, and I can't break it.
There you go.
That's what I like about it. I can beat it to death, and it will take it.
Well, Chris's guitar is super cool because of his actual input on the design.
The pickup set is nice.
That was what stood out to me the first time I saw
it. Well, the humbucker taps, too, so you can get the weird out-of-face stuff.
On the neck, and then, like, a hot one on the back. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a sweet choice.
I'm a P90 freak anyway. I love them. I've just never found a Les Paul I could get along with.
Hmm.
Those are finely crafted instruments, and you've got to take your time and ease into them and use finesse, and I'm a gorilla. I don't do that. This hand is a 10-pound hammer.
So you use heavy picks, right?
Oh, mediums. But I keep my wrist loose.
That's cool.
It's a trick I learned from Guitar World listening to Kerry King.
Mm.
I said, that man knows something about a pick hand, so yeah.
That would be accurate.
Yeah.
Well, Frankie, I think we're about to wrap here. Is there anything I have missed? Is there anything you want to say?
Dude, we could do this 14 times in a row, and I would miss something or screw something up.
Yeah, me too.
I'm just glad you took the time, because I appreciate this. This is awesome.
In my eyes, you're a part of the scene. You have been for a long time, even though it's fairly recent, you know, if you think about it.
A lot of stuff.
But you did a lot in a short amount of time. And you were in several bands, especially my personal favorite being Sinners and Saints. But the bands you have listed, the bands you were a part of, were very much a part of this scene and a part of the circuit.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're very much in deserving to have one of these episodes, which I think any musician in here deserves one. But some just have more stories to tell than others. You know?
There's a lot of them that I can talk to you in private about. I can't get into it.
And we'll do that.
Yeah, all the kids are married now. We got to be careful. I'm going to incriminate somebody.
Well, I appreciate you coming down and meeting with me today and sharing your stories. And everybody out there listening, check out anything that Frankie has done, and be sure to look out for what he's got coming.
And I will talk to you off air about how to get my old stuff online.
Well, let's
because I'm a numpty.
Take care, man.
See you, boss.